if you would, and turn with me to the book of Daniel, chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. I'd like to ask you a question. Did three men change the heart of a king after spending some time in the center of a fiery furnace? And can a shepherd boy strike down the enemy's giant and bring victory to God's army? That's right, the answer is yes. Three Hebrew boys did change the heart of a king, and David did strike down Goliath and brought victory to God's army. And our prayers can change our nation. Do you know why this is? Because God is still on the throne. I'd like you all to know that this morning. In Daniel chapter 4, there was a king named Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a dream. And I want you to know that this king didn't exactly do the will of God in his life. And he thought he was at a place in his life where he could do anything he wanted, and he wouldn't be affected by heaven. But God did reach down, and God did talk to this king in a dream, and he was disturbed by this dream. And in Daniel chapter 4, verse 24, after going through some people to try and find out what it meant, the king came to Daniel. And we read in verse 24, "This is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which is come upon my Lord the King." He didn't call the king the Most High. He said that God was the Most High, and this is the decree that's coming upon you. Verse 25, "That they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beast of the field, and that they shall make thee to eat grass as ox, and they shall wet thee with the dew of heaven, and seven times shall pass over thee, till thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he wills." Okay? Nebuchadnezzar was full of himself, and he thought that he was independent of God, but God had a different opinion because God was still on the throne. When have we lost sight of the fact that God is still on the throne? What if you were hiking through the woods and you got pretty deep into the woods and you lost your way? Well, if you had a compass, you would reach in your pocket to find your compass. Morally and spiritually, our nation has lost its way. And we need the compass of God's Word to find true north again. Our leaders in Washington desperately need to find true north again. And we need to pray that our senators, our congressmen, and our president will pick up their compass today. What about our president-elect and his administration? We need to pray for these people. Look at Psalm 119, please. Psalm 119. Beginning in verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." The psalmist writes that the word was a lamp unto his feet, him individually. He said that it is a light unto his path. The same is true for us today. The word is a light unto us personally, individually. The word is a lamp so we can see which way we're going. personally, individually. The Word of God will illuminate your path that you're walking in. You know what else it'll do? The Word of God will expose any darkness in your life. If it's a lamp and you're in a dark room, when you take that lamp and you start to put it around the room of your mind, you will begin to see the clutter that is in your mind, because the light of God's Word, if you allow it, will begin to illuminate the clutter that you have allowed in your mind. And that light of God's Word will illuminate it for you. Look at Psalm 51. Now, just because the Word is a lamp and it will illuminate the darkness in your life and the areas in your life that do not agree with God, does not necessarily mean that you will choose to do something about that darkness in your life. You see, the decision is still yours. We all want the Word to be a lamp unto our feet, and it shows us this, and the Word is wonderful, and it's purified, and it's all these wonderful things. However, are you willing to allow the Word of God to so shine in the recesses of your mind, to illuminate the darkness, to illuminate the evil in your life, so you then can identify it and choose by the freedom of your will that you will do something about it? That was the heart of the psalmist in Psalm 51. He prayed in verse 7, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." This was his heart, to purge me, to wash me so I can be white of a pure heart. Are you willing to pray this prayer with me this morning? Are you willing to allow the Word of God to illuminate the path that you've been walking in so that you can see for yourself if your path is right or if you're on a crooked path? Look at Psalm 119. Are you willing to receive the Word of God as doctrine? Everybody loves that. But are you willing to receive the Word of God as reproof and correction? Psalm 119, verse 29. Are you willing to pray this prayer with me this morning? "Remove from me the way of lying, and grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgment have I laid before me." Will you give God permission this morning to remove from you the way of lying? Will you choose to lay God's Word before you this morning? If you say yes, or if you say no, come with me into the Word of God today. And I pray that the eyes of your understanding will be illuminated. I'd like to show you this morning from the Word of God one of the highest responsibilities of a true Christian believer, a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read to you out of the New International Version this morning because I feel it will communicate the heart of what's being said here a little better. God authored the book. God is the author. So this is God's Word to mankind in the grace administration. God says, "I urge then, first of all," 1 Timothy 2:1, "that request, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone. Verse 2. These prayers, these requests, these intercessions, and these thanksgivings be made for kings and for all those in authority. Reason why? That we may live a peaceable and quiet life in all godliness and holiness. This is good, and it pleases God our Savior. You want to know what God's will is, and you want to know if you're well-pleasing to God, doing His will? It tells you right here. It pleases God. This God, verse 4, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth, who wants some men to be saved, who wants all men to be saved, not only born again, but then made whole. It doesn't say all of your particular political party, does it? It says all, to be born again and then become whole. Is there any question regarding God's will here according to these verses? Why does Paul start out in verse 1 and use the words, first of all? He didn't say second, third, or fourth. He said, first of all. Because the leaders and what our leaders do in Washington impact how we live. It impacts how we live. So my question is, have you done this? Have you prayed for our president? Have you prayed for our president-elect? Not a generic prayer, like bless President-elect Obama and his family, or bless Congress, or bless our Senate. Not a generic prayer like that. According to verse 1, have you made requests? Have you made prayers? Have you made intercession? Have you given thanks for these people? Just listen now. How can you give thanks for President-elect Obama if you disagree with him? Worse yet, how can you give thanks for him if you despise and hate him and his party? Or do you just want to mouth some nice little words and think that you can cloak your heart before God Almighty, who sees through the depths of your soul? Do you really want to do God's will? Then if you really want to do God's will, you need to start praying for your enemies. You know who the enemies are? You know who the bad guys are? They are the ones who stand at the opposite end of your political views. Everybody's got different enemies now, don't they? Despite best of our efforts, the very nature of politics leads to partisan divisions. This can place a real strain on those of us who are praying for our nation's leaders. Before long, your prayer life can become clouded by partisanship. You willing to take a little test with me this morning? Let's take a little test together, quietly, and let's see if your prayer life has become clouded by partisanship this morning. What I'd like you to do is I'd like you to think of the political leader you most disagree with. I want you to think of that person. I want you to get their name in your mind. Now I want you to picture their face and their family if you know what they look like. All right? Now let me ask you a question. Don't answer it. Just listen. When was the last time you prayed from your heart for that person and their family? If the answer is never, or if it's been a while, perhaps your prayers have been clouded by partisanship. Let me take you a step further. If God Almighty instructs us to pray for our leaders, and we refuse to pray because of our political leanings, then not only have our prayer life become clouded by partisanship, but our fellowship has become clouded by partisanship. In simple terms, this is called sin. It's called darkness. It's called evil. In an extended simple terms, it's called sin caused by idolatry. The idolatry is when you place your political views before God's holy word. That's the idolatry that is in your life. Now, wait a minute here. At this point, you have another God before the true God. It's called politics. Now, you said you wanted to be clean. Remember the psalmist, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, cleanse me from my sin. Remember it said in Psalm 119, look at verse 9. Psalm 119, verse 9. Good question to ask. The question was, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? There's the answer in the verse. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to be clean, whether you're young or old? Do you want to cleanse your way? The answer is you need to take heed according to the word. You need to take heed of God's word. And the psalmist says, with my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Are you seeking God with your whole heart, or are you just spewing off some words in front of him that you don't mean? Are you seeking God with your whole heart when God reaches down into the crevice of that heart and takes his energizer battery with his flashlight and shines it bright to flood the darkness of your heart? And now you, perhaps for the first time of your life, see the evil, see the deception, see the darkness that God has so graciously exposed for you. With your whole heart, will you seek after God when God puts this in front of you? Will you acknowledge it? Will you say, I will confess my sin and I will change? Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. What's in your heart? Is it God's word so you don't sin against God? But Reverend, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know the evil that these people are going to bring on our country. You don't know what their views are. You don't know how they voted. There are enemies. Well, what would Jesus do? Look at Matthew chapter 5. Because I would pretty much say that if we could find what Jesus would do and we're encouraged to walk in the steps of our Lord Jesus Christ, we'd be on the right path to follow his example, right? Matthew chapter 5, verse 43. You have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, Jesus is saying this, not me. I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, and do good to them that hate you. Oh, I don't even want to read the next two words, but I got to. And what? Pray for them that despitefully use you, and what? That you may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and he sendeth the rain on the just and on the unjust. For if you love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if you salute only your brethren, What do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But you, therefore, be ye perfect, therefore, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. We're to be examples. Ephesians tells us to imitate God as dear children. Look at Matthew chapter 9. But they're sick. They're evil. They're bad. Matthew chapter 9. Look at the end of verse 12. They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are what? When you speak God's word, and if you're going to win a lost soul, you don't go after the preacher, so to speak. You go after the ones that need God's word. Who more than the sick need to hear God's word? Who more than the lost need to be prayed for? See? Have you prayed for your political enemies lately? And when you get done praying for your political enemies, I think it'd be a real good idea for you to get down on your knees and pray and ask God to cleanse your heart from any hatred and bitterness that you've been carrying in it. Which brings me to my next point. Stop gossiping. Stop talebearing. And stop slandering people. Stop it. Notice I didn't say don't gossip, don't slander, don't talebear. I said stop doing it. Haven't I taught you better than that? Some of you think that your ministry in life is to find all the fault you can with the other political party and then slander them in the name of Jesus Christ. Where's it all going to end, people? I'm not talking about being informed and taking appropriate action in faith, like, for instance, praying. I'm talking about testifying for the devil. Look at Proverbs chapter 10. There's a big difference. Proverbs 10, verse 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof errs. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. You know what hiding hatred with lying lips is? Oh, thank you so much for President-elect Obama and his family. Would you bless him, Lord? Amen. That's not how you feel. That's not how you feel, if that's inside of you. Where it says people like that are fools. He that uttereth a slander is a fool. What's a slander? I heard such and such. I heard such and such. It's something that's bad against another person. I didn't spend a lot of time with this, but I did look at some brochures. I did look at some web things, this, that, and the other thing. And you want to know something? You got just as many, if not more, websites and blogs and everything else that talk about President-elect Obama being a wonderful Christian man. And you got on the other side just as many saying that he's the seed of the serpent. Now somebody's a liar. Somebody's a liar. And I'm not going to tell you one way or another. This is what I'm going to tell you because I know that I'm absolutely sure when I stay on God's word. If President-elect Obama is a Christian, he's your brother and sister and his wife. You understand? And they will spend eternity with you. And you have no right to talk about that man. And if President Obama isn't a Christian, does that give you a right to talk about him? Nobody has a right. What's slandering? What's talking about them? When you get these little emails that people send around mindlessly, Obama's a voodoo witch doctor, Obama's this, Obama's the Antichrist, Obama's this. Slander. You may not be smart enough to recognize this, but this is the stuff you're filling your mind with. It's slander. It's talebearing. And you know what it is? It's evil and it's sin. Same way if it goes against McCain. McCain is a this. He's a George Bush clone. It's slander. It's slander. But we eat into all this junk. And we want to get on the political rallies and the political trains. And you know what? The devil sits back, he thumbs in his nose and says, look what I'm doing. Having a good old time here. Because these are supposed to be Christians with bitterness and hatred and slander in their hearts against their own leadership. I'm doing okay here. Look at Proverbs 18. You going to come see me? You come see me with the word, not your views. I'm talking about God's word now. Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds. They go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Another translation, the Bible in Basic English translates that verse. The words of one who says evil against his neighbor secretly are like sweet food, and they go down into the innermost parts of the stomach. It's like ambulance chasers or fires. Everybody wants to see what's going on. Everybody wants to read about something bad happening to somebody. You know where slander comes from? Slander comes from an evil heart. The one who repeats the tales, the one who gossips, the one who slanders, they are the ones that have the problem, not the one that's being slandered. Look at Luke chapter 6. We are not so righteous that we are above being tricked by the deception of the devil. And make no mistake about it, that's where the deception comes from. He uses a lot of avenues. He uses a lot of passionate things that we are committed to, but it's still the source is the devil. Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is what? Good. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure of his heart, bringeth forth that which is evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. Proverbs said, the words of one who says evil. You want to know what's inside of a person's heart? Listen to what they speak about. I don't care. It's slander. It's gossip. It's talebearing. Revelation 12:10 says, now I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuses them night and day before God. Slander, speaking evil, placing false accusations is a characteristic of the devil. So the next time you're tempted to gossip, the next time you are tempted to backbite or to slander, who do you think is going to be on your side cheering you on? He's going to have pom-poms with a D on his chest. That's right. Which brings me to my next point. Don't complain. Take aim. Don't complain. Take aim. Do you just want to talk? Do you just want to complain? Or do you talk and do you pray with a purpose? Do you have a purpose behind what you're talking about? Maybe you should pray that God would raise up leaders who will seek to do his will for our nation. Instead of bitching, how about praying that God's will be done? How about praying that God would touch the heart of our president-elect and work with him, or our congressmen and work with them, and that God's will come to pass? Look at Matthew chapter 5. We forget what our responsibility is. Ever read the book by Dr. Seuss? If I Ran the Zoo. It's a little cute children's book about what would you do if you were the zookeeper. And everybody wants to be a great zookeeper because they do things all differently until feeding time of the animals came around. And then they saw that the job of the zookeeper wasn't as easy as they thought. Well, our nation sometimes acts like a zoo. And the animals are out of their cages. So the job of the zookeeper may not be as easy as you think that you do it as, huh? Matthew 5, verse 13 says, first part of it, you are the salt of the earth. You are, Donald, JT, Jonathan, everyone here who claims the name of Jesus Christ and wants to walk within His word. You are the salt of the earth. Have you forgotten who you are? Do you let them define who you are? Do you listen to all this garbage and let them influence who you are? You are the salt of the earth. You know what salt does? One of its characteristics is that it preserves. As Christians, we need to preserve a decaying world. That's our job. What else does salt do? It stings. It stings. Rub some salt into a wound next time you get it. See how it feels. You know why it stings? Because it's purifying and it's healing. These are two things that our society so desperately needs. It needs to be purified. It needs to be healed. It's much easier to be the sugar of the world. However, salt is what is needed to preserve and to fill the gaps in our country. We do not live in walled cities today. In years past, a nation was protected because of the walls that they would build around the cities. Today, the same is true. Although you cannot see the walls of protection around our nation, they are still there. The walls of God's divine providence. These walls, however, are decaying, and the gaps are quite visible to the spiritual eye. Drugs, violence, crime, moral decay, divorce, destruction of family, and a crumbling education system are just some of the gaps visible to the walls of God's protection around our nation. The most dangerous assignment a Christian can accept is to stand in the gaps and repair the breaches in the walls. When you complain, don't complain, take aim. Are you willing to be a gap filler, or you just want to walk around and complain and slander and gossip and talebear? What do you want to do to make it better? One of the ways that you can make it better, one of the ways that you can repair the breach, one of the ways that you can be a gap filler is to pray, and pray according to the word of God, not mouthing off some words that sound good. What is the purpose of your speech when you're talking? Okay, you're going to say something. Now say it with a purpose. Because you want to sway somebody, because you want to slander somebody, because you want to impress upon somebody how smart you are or how your party dominates and your party's perfect. What is the purpose? Or are you just complaining? Do you have an aim? Do you have an end to your speech? What are you going to do about it? Or you just want to testify for the devil and spread his trash around so other people can bring the trash in their minds and now they got to deal with it. Look at Ezekiel 22. God is not interested in men and women who want to walk around and slander and point out fault and complain about other people. That type of a person to God is useless. God cannot work with that person. The Enquirer can, the Star can, but God Almighty cannot. Ezekiel 22, look at verse 29. I'm aware of what's going on in our country. If you've got a newspaper, you're aware of it too. Verse 29, chapter 22. The people of the land have used oppression, and they've exercised robbery, and have vexed the poor and needy. Yea, they have oppressed the stranger wrongfully. This is what was going on in the time that God told Ezekiel. Look at what's going on in the nation. Look at what's going on in the land. And God turned around in verse 30 and says, you know what, something, Zeke? I sought for a man among them. I sought for an individual, Ezekiel. I sought for a man among them. A man who should take up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the what? The land. That I should not destroy it. But you know what, Ezekiel? I didn't find any. You know why I didn't find them, Ezekiel? Because they were all out gossiping. They were all out complaining. They were all out telling me how evil their nation's leaders are. And I wanted someone to rise up and stand in the gap for the land, for the nation. But they were too busy testifying for the devil. Ha ha. Broke my heart, God said. Instead of criticizing our leaders, let's consecrate them to the Lord in prayer. Instead of mocking them, let's make intercession for them. Instead of slandering, why don't you try getting on your knees? Look at Isaiah 58. You want to be clean? This is God's word to you, to be clean. Now what you want to do with it, it's your business. Isaiah 58. Look at verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the paths to dwell in. That's a good thing to have on your tombstone. The repairer of the breach. Here lies so-and-so, a repairer of the breach. Here lies so-and-so, a restorer of the paths of God. Not here lies so-and-so, a Republican, a Democrat, a slanderer, a gossiper. Are you willing to stand in the gap today for our nation's leaders and to help repair the breach by prayer? Or do you want to complain? Or are you willing to take aim and say, what can I do? Who did I tell you was on the throne still? You have access to that throne anywhere you go, immediately. And you trying to tell me you're helpless, it's hopeless? Are you willing to stand together and pray and believe and see that God would bless? Or do you want to complain? Which brings me to my next point. We heard this in manifestations. It is God who will always provide for us, not the government. Even the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, go there please, can be applied to our nation in this day and in this time. Matthew 6, look at verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. It says, hallowed be thy name. Will you pray with me that God's name will be respected and considered holy in our nation? Will you pray with me that our leaders will honor the name of God? Will you pray that God's will be done on earth and in our country? Give us this day our daily bread. It says God, not Congress, will provide for us. Our prayer should reflect this. Then it says forgive. Have you asked forgiveness for your sins and for the sins of our nation? That's biblical. You can do that. Read Nehemiah. Forgive the sins of our fathers. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Will you pray for God to protect and deliver our nation as we seek after him? Habakkuk chapter 3, please. See, these are all positive, affirmative actions that you can take in faith instead of gossiping, spreading rumors, spreading lies, spreading slanders, complaining. Do something about it. I'm giving you something to do about it. You have access to the throne of God Almighty. Do something about it. Use it. Don't get so stupidly sidetracked by the devil trying to define what's going on. The book defines what goes on. God's still on the throne. Habakkuk, I'm going to read to you out of the New Living because it'll help you understand it a little better. Verse 1. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. Habakkuk 3:1. So this is a prayer. And look at what his prayer was. Verse 2. I have heard all about you, Lord, and I am filled with awe by the amazing things you have done. In this time of our deep need, begin again, Lord, to help us, as you did in years gone by. Show us your power to save us, and in your anger, Lord, remember your mercy. In this time of our deep need, begin again to help us as you have in years gone by. Show us your power to save us, and in your anger, remember your mercy. Our nation was framed by the word of God. Many of our founding fathers were godly men. George Washington was a devout Christian. His prayer diary of 24 pages was penned by his own hand at a young age of 20. Let me share with you one of his prayers. Thou hast preserved me from the dangers of the night past, and brought me to the light of this day, and the comfort thereof. A day which is incarnate to thine own service, and for thine own order, our own honor. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory and the majesty of it, that I may not do mine own works, but wait on thee, and discharge those weighty duties thou require of me. Isn't that a wonderful prayer? Listen to the second part of the prayer. Let my heart, therefore, gracious God, be so affected with the glory and majesty of it. Of it. Of what? He prayed in the verse before, he's removed you from the dangers of the night and he brought you to the light of this day. Of this day. Washington saw each day as consecrated to God. We can take advantage of each day that the Lord has given unto us and take the opportunity in prayer to change our nation. That's how Washington lived. You ever been tempted to quit? I just want to give up. That's it. I've had it. Enough is enough. We'll never change this stupid nation. It's hopeless. I quit. I give up. What I should vote for, it's not going to happen anyway. The Bible says it's going to get eviler and eviler. This is a very powerful temptation. The reason why it is such a powerful temptation is that, unlike other temptations, it does not take any effort at all to quit. But when we get the intellectual ones, or the ones full of pride, sometimes we cloak "I quit" with little phrases like, "Ah, it doesn't matter anyway," or "whatever happens going to happen," or "let's just go with the flow." But the flow is always downstream. Just look for all the dead fish. It's always harder to swim upstream. If you feel like giving up, why don't you just for 1 minute in your selfish mind consider the way our leaders feel? Public service can be very discouraging. It is very possible that your representatives are facing discouragement too. Don't give up on our leaders. Don't give up on our nation. The Word of God says you need to pray for them. You need to pray for the ones who will stand on the truth, and you need to pray for the ones to stand on the truth. You need to pray and don't give up. Pray for the bad guys to show them that you love them, that you'll do the Word of God. Pray for the bad guys. Have your prayer be that God would give them the truth and guide them. Ain't none of them as bad as the Apostle Paul now, is it? Pray that their hearts would be open to God's voice. Pray that God would give them courage and strength to go on. Pray that they don't quit. Look at Galatians chapter 6. See, this is taking aim with prayer. It's not complaining. Galatians 6, verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Don't be weary in well-doing. Stay steadfast on your prayer. Stay steadfast on your commitment to stand in the gap, to repair the breach, to plug the holes. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. Verse 3. "For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin." Was Jesus Christ wrongfully treated? Was Jesus Christ spit on? Was he abused? Did he give up? If he gave up, would any of us be sitting here in this administration? To praise God. Praise God. Take it to heart. From this moment forward, resolve to pray for our country and our leadership every day. The election is over, and now God commands you to pray for the leadership of our country from the heart. From this point on, let your conversation reflect what I have taught you this day, at least here. You want to sin? Sin outside the doors, but at least here. And instead of gossip, instead of slander, instead of talebearing, if you want to think on anything, if you want to think about anything, if you want to say anything, let me give you something to think about. Go to Philippians chapter 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. This is how you overcome the junk thoughts of politics. Welcome to God's mental health clinic. Spend some time thinking on the things I have given you this day, and you will be healed. Close, please, Isaiah 26. We got to come back to the Word. We got to come back to the integrity and accuracy of God's Word. The adversary is always pulling us away from the Word. He's pulling us away with wars, with politics, with finances. He's always reaching for our hearts with pleasures, with pressures. We got to come back to the Word, and nothing but the Word. For it's the Word of God that gives us life. God is still on the throne. He is still the great King, and we have audience with Him. We need to start utilizing that. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in what? In thee. As we stay our mind on God and his perfect word, God will give us peace. He will set a table for us in the midst of our enemy. He will take care of us. So when you leave here today, leave here with your heart full of the light of God's word. And get rid of that bitterness, get rid of that hatred, get rid of that prejudice, get rid of that evil. And pray for our president, for our President-elect Obama and his family and the Congress and our nation. Stand in the gap. Be part of the solution, not part of the problem. And don't complain. With your prayers, take aim and stand in faith. Father, thanks for your word, thanks for your love, and thanks, Father, very simply, that we can be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Let's take